Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and of course, I'm thrilled, as usual, that you're with us today. I think you're going to enjoy this. One of our greatest frustrations in the field of afterlife research is the fact that no matter how consistent and how overwhelming the evidence is, and no matter how well we put it together, assemble it, and present it, mainstream science's foolish and erroneous materialist dogma has been so well enforced that it hasn't prevented, really, any sort of unbiased look at the afterlife evidence by our broader society. That's tragic. So many people have suffered needless grief and pain. But now, gradually, at last, this century-long scientific stonewalling of the truth is ending. Our guest today is someone who is in the forefront of the broad assault against ignorance that is just beginning to bring down mainstream science's last defenses. As the truth begins to dawn over all the earth, it will be in considerable part due to the courageous efforts of people like Adelaide Wolf. She's a visionary and a very determined filmmaker. She's going to be filming extensively at the Afterlife Research and Education Institute Symposium that's being held September 13 to 15 of 2017. The documentary she's filming is about mediums, and its working title is Medium Rare. A true medium is a rare find. Oh, is she right? Adelaide Wolf is a fascinating woman. She is an enrolled member of the Omaha tribe and an entertainment industry veteran. She has more than two decades of experience in the fields of music, TV, and film. She's sort of living the life I wanted when I was a child, both in front of the camera and behind the microphone, and also in personal management and production. As is true of so many who work in the field of afterlife studies, what brought her here was a personal tragedy, and what she's doing with her grief is just beautiful. Welcome, Adelaide. I am thrilled that you're with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It was such an honor when you reached out to me to ask me to be a guest on your show, Roberta. Thank you so much.
You have no idea. You've sort of roiled the whole staid and stuffy weird world of afterlife research because you actually want to do a documentary that is so relevant and so current. And so we're all really excited to be getting together with you and talking about this. But I think people would like to know what got you into this field. What happened to your son? Tell us that story briefly.
My son actually had a heart and lung condition, and he was up for transplant, and unfortunately his organs failed, and he never did get his second chance to get his transplant. So on July 20th of 2015, he transitioned.
How old was he?
He was 37.
Well, at least he had some life before that time. But, you know, I understand there always are babies. I have three that age. So one of the things they don't tell you when they give you the little bundle in the hospital is that you never, ever put that bundle down. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he was my only child. So, I don't think you ever get over missing their physical presence.
No,
least I haven't. I miss him every day, but because of my background, being raised traditional Native American, we always had spirit in our life. So our culture was based around spirit and animal spirits and the earth, and, you know, Mother Earth and Father Sky. So I was lucky to be raised that way and have that core belief as I was growing up.
One thing I'd like to just mention for everyone, and this may not be a surprise to you, is that in the communications we received in the early part of the 20th century, in which people talked in considerable detail about what they were doing, and one of the things they were doing was traveling the afterlife, which is tremendous, much bigger than the universe.
Right.
We received several reports which basically said that the most spiritual people ever were the Native Americans in their heyday in this on this continent. In fact, when people would graduate very damaged, they would literally take the very high level beings would literally take these very very damaged people who needed to recover from their horrible lives on Earth and bring them to the afterlife where the Native Americans still had plains full of bison, and they would basically these people were so spiritual that they could heal these people, and then the upper level beings would come and get them again. Is that an amazing story?
Oh, I love that. Yes, I love that. That's a wonderful story. I think that's a very healing story for people to know. Native American and our belief, I mean, is very spiritual, and I think more and more people are starting to kind of bring their path over to that, where there is spirituality, and it's awakening more and more. Where it used to be, where you used to have to kind of hide it, and you didn't turn when
no.
you left your house. Now it's kind of like, you know, you have no problem in talking about it.
It's really astonishing. I've done very little study, really, of the Native American beliefs and practices, but they are extremely spiritual, much more than Westerners. But what we're going to do is first talk a little bit more about your son, Billy, because there are some hints that I've gotten that he has appeared to you. You have or given you signs. You've heard from him?
Yes, yes. He actually, his first sign that he gave was on scattering his ashes at sea, and a friend of his took a picture, and when we were going out, and all of a sudden, actually my producing partner, Kim's husband, Rick, all of a sudden looked at the picture, and he said, oh my gosh, he goes, there is a heart orb in the middle of this picture.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And I mean, it's one of those where it's a divine heart orb, and it's so funny because everybody on the yacht had asked for a copy of that picture afterwards, and I've actually been asked if it was photoshopped in when people see it. And
oh,
no, it
wow.
It was not photoshopped in.
Wow, bless him. That is, I've never heard of a heart-shaped orb. I think that's extraordinary.
Yes, yep. It was something that anybody who'd seen it, they immediately see the heart-shaped orb.
Oh, isn't that something? So what else? Do you hear from him ever now? Have you talked with him through a medium, for example?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's how it was all started is one of my first communications. I'm very careful with the mediums that I've ever used because there are so many out there that, you know, get their information on the Internet.
Absolutely,
and, you know,
yes.
And I don't think people realize that. So my first one was I found a medium. She was actually through Forever Family. And it was so interesting because I got a hold of her from a fake email, okay? I had a throwaway email, and I asked her, can I snail mail you? And I said, I'm going to send you a money order because I didn't want her to know who I was,
right.
No return address or anything. She said yes, which, you know, is kind of unheard of nowadays. And it was so interesting. She gave me almost 5 pages of evidential information.
Isn't that great? Can you say who?
It was just
can you say who it was? Because there are not many that are that good.
Janet Meyer.
Okay, great. All right, I've also heard good things elsewhere about her.
Yeah, she was out. She came up with things, and I mean, I'm not talking about your normal things that anybody could say of generic information. I'm talking about things that would just your jaw drop.
Yes, yeah. I think people need to understand there are mediums who really are in contact with the dead. And
yes.
Once you've had an experience with one of them, you really can tell the difference because the others are just give you vague stuff that could apply to anybody. And it's frustrating. I came to the point I was so discouraged because I was testing mediums. I was spending a lot of money on mediums over months of time and testing them and trying to see who was good and who wasn't. I came to this conclusion, this was about 15, 20 years ago, that not a single blessed medium was worth anything because they all were cold reading and it was so obvious. So you're fortunate you found somebody really good.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and that's actually how this documentary was started.
Yes.
That's actually how this documentary was started, because I worked with her. I mean, like I said, she did the reading for me, and then I start going out and I start doing more research with mediums. I joined a lot of the parents groups, you know, and
yes,
a lot of the other grief groups.
Sure.
And with that, I saw the hope that a wonderful medium can give somebody back. That spark of light that you see ignite back in them. And it was one of the most beautiful things to see them to be able to move on. It's not saying that they don't miss the physical form of their child at all. But it's so healing to turn around and see that hope, you know, and that they turn around and now become of service. But on the other hand, I also saw what a bad medium can do to somebody who's already devastated. They're walking in there with their last bit of hope. They're already, I mean, devastated. They're walking in with their last bit of hope, and when their last bit of hope is crushed, I've watched some of them where they haven't come back yet. And I don't know if they will ever, because it was such a bad experience for them.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I mean, that's such an excellent point, because many people sort of think medium and they think generic, which is not true at all. We know there are many different kinds of mediums, and you make a point of distinguishing between spiritual and psychic mediums, right?
Yes. Oh, a big difference between that. And the thing is that I found, when I start doing all my research, not only did I start doing research, I turned around and I start going to workshops, and I start going to intuitive classes and mediumship classes, and I start going to platform demonstrations, because I wanted to start seeing and understanding all of a sudden before you could start making a documentary or really research what you're talking about.
Right.
And to watch some of the platforms was just unbelievable. We actually were at one platform where the medium got up on stage and said, I have an older gentleman here, and he likes to read his morning newspaper and have coffee with it.
So that's like 89% of the entire population, male population of the United States, would fit that in one way or another. Right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Oh, Lord. I'm so sorry. Those poor people.
Those poor people, and I watched that, and I mean, and the thing is people are wanting to connect with their loved ones, and that was part of it, to understand the difference between general, generic information that fits, like you said, 89 to 95% of the people
right.
out there.
Oh,
and that is not a good reading. That is not a good reading.
Oh, no.
And then you have the difference between a psychic and a medium. So many people go to psychics, you know, and they think that they're connecting with their loved ones, and a psychic is working off your energy, off your aura.
Yes.
And they're not connecting. And but it was, that's what started all of this. That's what started the process of finding unbelievable mediums, and we've vetted all the mediums that are in the documentary. Because we have a responsibility as filmmakers, knowing that anybody that's in this documentary, people are going to go see them afterwards. They're going to hear their name. So we made sure, and we had that responsibility to make that we brought some of the best that we felt were out there, and confident that people would walk away if they go to any of them, you know, that they would have that healing effect.
Yeah, that's really crucial. I mean, I didn't believe any of them were any good. I didn't even make a distinction between psychic and spiritual. I thought they were all charlatans until I met Suzanne Wilson, and she blew me away. She's like a real medium.
Yep.
And there are others. I always recommend to people Gary Schwartz's book, The Afterlife Experiments, because he actually double and triple blind tested, and I think quadruple even blind tested mediums. And he found some that were, the odds against chance were in the multiple millions for them not to be real. So clearly there are good mediums. And spiritual simply means they're connecting directly with our loved ones in spirit. That's kind of important. That's what we want. Psychic ability is easy for people who are psychics. It's easy for them to tell you things about people you love because, as you point out, it's in your aura. But
It's like the saying they said, that every medium is a psychic, but not every psychic is a medium.
Absolutely. Right.
And I think people need to be made aware of that. It was actually the ones that have really helped me and to really understand are Paul Jacobs and Chris Drew and Melinda Kushner. Susan Wilson is just beyond amazing.
Yes.
I mean, Janet Nohavik, all these wonderful, wonderful mediums. And to find out what it takes to be a real medium, you just don't go to a workshop over a weekend or take one or two courses and you go out there and hang your shingle and you're a medium. It's much more than that. Some of them, I mean, have years and years and years
yes.
and years of training.
Yes.
And that yeah. still doesn't mean that you're a medium.
It's like any other talent. You can have a talent, but if you don't work hard to develop your talent, it's you can't do much. For example, you might be someone who could be a gifted pianist, but until you take a few lessons and do a lot of practicing, you can't play the piano. And the same is true with this. I mean, I've watched Suzanne develop, and she's really quite extraordinary. It's also something people have to preserve, because it's such a delicate connection that they have. And one of the things I look forward to talking with you about in this documentary that you're doing is just how delicate that communication really is. Who exactly are we talking to, and where are they? I mean, that kind of thing is so must be so carefully preserved and spiritually preserved. Or they lose the ability, and suddenly there's the way they're making a living. They can't make a living anymore. And what happens then is they turn into cold readers and guessers.
But you know what? You bring up an excellent point that I don't think a lot of them realize anymore. They let their ego get in the way
yes.
of what the originality was. It was spiritualism. It was being spiritual, and it was
yes.
connecting to spirit. This was a service. You developed it. Some people feel it's a gift, you know, others feel you were born with it. Most that I've talked to, especially out of the United Kingdom that came out of Arthur Findlay, feel that you were born with it somehow and that you've developed it, and then it comes around along down the line where it could pop up when you're young or it could be in your teens, 20s, 30s, but it will. You were born with that somewhere along your lineage.
But most of the good ones seem to have it in their families. It's like any other talent. It seems to be inheritable, but the point is that they still, as you say, they have to develop it. And people who become too sort of money grubbing about it and too begin to neglect the spiritual side will lose the gift.
Yes.
And then what do they do? So.
Yes.
We all, as being consumers of the work of very good spiritual mediums, we still must be careful to make sure that the people we're working with. Every time I talk to my wonderful, beautiful friend Suzanne Wilson, I always say, "Always protect your gift." That's the way I sort of end every conversation with her, because her gift is so rare. I know it's rare because I've tried so hard to find it in other people, and so few have it. But fortunately, she does protect her gift.
Yes, she does, and I mean, I think she is a wonderful soul, and I mean, she's reached out, and I think it's so funny, you'll love this one. I was actually at one of my circles one night, and we went out afterwards, and one of the mediums that I'm working with, actually spiritual evidential mediums, Melinda Kushner, we had all gone out afterwards, and Melinda said, "Oh my God," she goes, "Billy's here," and then she gave me a message, and it actually was point on. And then what was so funny, you're not going to believe this one, the next day, Suzanne Wilson calls me, we're talking, and all of a sudden, you would have sworn she had been sitting at our table.
Oh, wow.
The night before, because she gave me the same exact message, and I was like, Billy really needed to get this message through.
But also, he's showing you that he's with you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the odds against chance for that are extraordinary. I mean, there's no way that's anything but real. Isn't that beautiful? I love that.
Yes. And I think those are the things that people need to understand. Those are the true gifts of when you have somebody spiritual and that is a genuine spiritual medium.
True medium.
Melinda, yes, a true medium. That, like I said, no way was she sitting at the table that night.
Yes. I mean, what may come out of this, Adelaide, is a registry of mediums that you personally have endorsed, because I think you're going to become a big name in this field.
Oh, I just want to help. I want to help grieving families. When you see the devastation and you just see the pain in them,
Yes.
See them asking, how do I find a medium? How do I know who is a
guest? Oh, yes. Yes.
You start compiling the same questions everybody keeps asking. And then, as I had said before, it was seeing how it started was I saw the hope that a beautiful reading can do for somebody with a genuine spiritual evidential medium. And I saw the devastation caused by mediums that, I don't know, bad mediums, they don't connect, they're psychics, charlatans, I don't know which word you want to use.
Yeah.
But it's very sad. The one thing that in all of this, it's a service. Even what we do is a service, and that's how I feel is I'm trying to help and provide a service to others with this documentary, as my partner and the director are trying to do, Kim and Seth. That's what we're trying to do at the end, that people can make their own decision. Hopefully some that are on the fence will jump off the fence. Others that, I mean, are just no, will hopefully maybe jump off the fence and sit there and say, ooh, maybe it's a possibility.
Are you going to show how it works? This is how it works. This is how it's possible. This is why it's hard.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely hard. That's the thing many people don't understand. It's not like just ringing up someone on a phone. It's a very difficult thing to do well. And it requires, not just the talent, but also a lot of skill in connecting with and talking with these people who just don't have bodies anymore.
Oh, I know. And that's what actually what's very interesting that kind of goes with that is that we actually held... it was Paul Jacobs we had out here. He is actually one of the leading international spiritual mediums, and he's a tutor in the UK for Arthur Findlay and has his own place called House of Spirit in Germany. He was out here with Melinda, and we held a Q&A. Now, we have very controlled environments, so we don't want anybody to have names or anything like that. So there was an audience that came in. We did not ask anybody to sign up for them, fill out anything, so we had no idea who anybody was.
Right.
And that's what they did. They were able to, and this will be in part of the doc, they were able to ask those type of questions. They were able to ask the questions of, this myth of that when somebody takes their life, they go to hell. No, they do not.
No, I mean, that's part of what you can do. You can help people who are skeptical begin to see that we do have information. In fact, we have a ton and a half of information of what happens at and after death, and it's all perfectly consistent and has been received over 200 years almost. Helping people understand we do have this information, you're not just flying blind, that would be a great gift to people, especially those who are really grieving, because that's light at the end of the tunnel. That's, I really can begin to communicate with my loved one. And as you'll see, I mean, I hope you participate in the symposium. There are ways now for individuals to learn how to adapt themselves to be able to communicate directly with their loved ones.
Exactly.
This is a whole new world for people. We've not had this kind of stuff, really. Even a decade ago, we didn't have it. So this is a very exciting time. If you must be a grieving person, this is an exciting time to be doing that, because there's so much hope and possibility that we never had before.
Yes. No, and I agree with you. And that's why we were very careful and we vetted all of the spiritual mediums that are in here. They have been asked different questions. They have given their sides, the spirit world, I mean, physical form, the different realms. I mean, it is, they go into all of it to explain everything. We were actually lucky enough to be able to film at Arthur Findlay College in the UK, and they don't allow
that's great.
To film.
I know, they don't. That's good for you. You are very persuasive.
No, that was Paul Jacobs that helped us.
you have someone on the inside then.
Even go in there and we've talked to some of the students there, so people understand that they go there to learn, and it's not just a weekend or a week course. Some of them have been going back. You never stop learning in this field. That's number one.
That's true. Absolutely right.
You're always developing. spirit is always teaching you something else. Even all the spiritual mediums I work with, they will always say, "Oh, spirit just taught me that," or "spirit taught me this."
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
It is a new awakening, saying, "Oh, okay, so that's what you want me to see with this, you know, with this message." And
yes.
Messages for each person are individual. I've learned so much. I mean, it is, yes, they have the same personality. Spirit has the same personality as they had in
exactly.
spirit, as they had here. And I think that's one thing people are afraid of, not knowing. They have their same personality.
The same people. Exactly.
Yes.
So, some of them, when they get there, are very disappointed to find out they're the same people. They thought they'd suddenly become magically wonderful and enlightened and perfect. And somehow that doesn't happen. We have
it
to do it
happen.
Ourselves.
Exactly.
Right.
I know. I know that. I think that's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people.
Yes. Yes. Now, Adelaide, I'd like to ask you to talk about your 8 important things you're trying to do with this documentary, because I thought that was really quite enlightening.
Basically, what we're trying to do with this documentary is we're trying to bring the world of mediumship a little bit closer to people, and so they understand the difference between a medium and a psychic.
Right.
I have found out that so many people do not understand there is a difference between a medium and a psychic.
Yes.
So we're really pushing on that. We are also trying to push on when you're going for a reading and you find that spiritual medium that you're going to, the difference between generic, general information and hard evidential information.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
and
the medium to be able to pick up on the things that are going to be evidential also seems to me to be a skill. They learn not to reject trivial things. I mean,
exactly.
The first time I was certain Suzanne was real was when she said, "Why is she pointing at her eyebrow?" Only my mother would have known that I was going to find that significant.
Yep.
But Suzanne saw her pointing at her eyebrow. You know, that was it. Suddenly, okay, you're real. That's the kind of thing a really good medium will do. They don't overlook anything that they see or hear.
No, they don't. And here, I'll try to make this as quick as possible, is we were actually had been filming in New Jersey, and we were coming back home, and all of a sudden, Melinda had turned around, and Melinda kept saying, "Billy's here," and Billy keeps pulling something out of his pocket, putting it in, putting it out. She kept saying, and she's like, "I can't just bring this to her. She's not going to understand."
Yeah, right.
This. And you keep looking at it, and it's so important. And so she said, "He wants me to tell you," and I said, "Oh, my gosh, I know exactly what it is."
Yes.
I said it's his sub-Q pump. He wore a sub-Q pump because of his condition. I said we used to be so stressed about that sub-Q pump that I said it was just unbelievable because it only had a 4-hour half-life for the medicine that he had.
Oh.
So, but wait, here's the second part. So we're at the airport, and you know how big Newark is, you know, for the airport. Out of all the lines we're in the airport, and the airline we're in going through security, all of a sudden, another person's basket falls behind into all of our stuff, okay? Inside her basket is the sub-Q pump.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
I hadn't seen that sub-Q pump for over a year, year and a half.
Oh, wow.
I had not seen it because it was a specialty item for his condition. And
yes.
Her basket that fell into our stuff right after Melinda had seen that. And even Seth, their director, had sat there and said, he goes, "We could have put this on camera, but nobody would have believed it. They would have thought that we made this all up."
Wait, for people listening, that's the kind of thing they will do. What, for example, Mikey Morgan, someone that many of us know, a sixth-level being, one of his specialties is signs on the backs of cars and license plates. And he's able to maneuver traffic so that that car or license plate will be right in front of the person he's trying to give the sign to. So it's not that difficult for them to mess with these physical things. So knowing that somebody had one nearby, it was not hard, really, for Billy to maneuver that into a spot where you would see it. So I think that's just a lot of fun, don't you? I mean, it really is.
Oh, no, you can't, somebody could say her seeing it in her pocket or whatever, that's coincidence. That and being right there in that same line at that same time, and it wasn't ours. It was hers that somehow funneled down the line into our all of our baggage.
The odds against chance are almost incalculable. No, that's a very good sign, and that's kind of a fun one, too, I think. Because we know he did it. See, that's the thing. We sort of know how he did it, and we know he's smiling, and that's part of the fun of these signs. They enjoy very much giving us these signs.
And that's what we have to learn. They're sending us signs all the time. Sometimes our grief is just so deep, we're not seeing them. I can understand what everybody is saying. Some are coincidence. I'm not going to say that all of them are signs and stuff, that we need it so bad. But not all of them are coincidence. They are not all coincidence. All the signs and all the messages they are sending us, they are not all coincidence.
One of the things that the dead tell us is that our belief that coincidences are common is actually wrong. Coincidences are very, 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 very rare. True accidental coincidences are extremely rare.
Right.
I tell people, if you see or hear or something happens that you think conceivably might be a sign, always say aloud, thank you, please do it again. Or thank you, I see that, please do it again, or hear that. Because
that's what I do. I thank them. I'm grateful for what they did. And then I sit there and say, okay, now show me that it wasn't. Show me it was real.
Do another one. Yes, I believe, but help my unbelief here. Yes.
My poor husband is always telling me, he goes, don't you know Billy has other things to do over there than to keep showing you that it was real?
No, we become addicted, I think, to this hearing repeatedly from our loved ones. And they will do it. If you always thank them and say, please do it again. And then always, even if you think, of course that there would be a cloud shaped like that, but it reminds you of something, whatever trivial thing it is. Thank you. I see that. Please do it again, because that energizes them to keep doing this for you. Otherwise, I have to tell you, many people will stop looking for signs very soon after a death and therefore won't acknowledge them. And, our loved ones have a ton more things to do there that are fun than they ever had to do here. And they'll go do those things and wait for you to arrive.
Right.
But I just as soon get the signs. So
I'm with you. I like the signs and messages. Paul Jacobs has given me great signs and messages. Even with it, I mean, it had to do with a Swiss Army knife. And with it being right next to his chair. And which it is. It's his Swiss Army knife that his grandfather gave him is right next to Billy's chair in the living room.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm really enjoying speaking with Adelaide Wolfe. She is a Native American, which I think is wonderful. She and I will do another segment talking about Native American spirituality. I've never had anyone that I knew that I could talk with about that. But she's right now, the what's closest to her heart is this amazing documentary she's doing called Medium Rare. A true medium is a rare find, and she's absolutely right about that. What's the stage you're at now with regard to this documentary, Adelaide?
We're actually kind of starting to slowly wrap it up. We have all the with a last medium that we will be interviewing will be Susan Giesman, and we at the Afterlife Conference. And so we have, like I said, Paul Jacobs, Janet Nohavik, Chris Drew, Susan Giesman, Suzanne Wilson, Melinda Kushner, and Mavis Patella. Again, we have been very careful with who we put in here. As the mediums, because I think the one thing that people forget when they're going into mediumship is there is a great responsibility to spirit, but they forget the responsibility to the client.
Yes.
And even on so many forums that I go on to and workshops and everything I hear, I'm like going, because I'm the client. So I'm
yes.
Like, Why aren't you talking about your responsibility to the client and what you're doing to us?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what part of this started for, is because there's such a great responsibility of the client. Every last one of the mediums, the spiritual mediums that we have in here, do feel a great responsibility to spirit and the client, which I just think is fabulous, and it's heartwarming, and, I mean, it's good to know that there are spiritual mediums like them out there. We also want to let people know, how they can, the grieving can learn to communicate with their loved ones and spirits. And it's about, opening our eyes up to seeing them. you know, you have to have some faith and trust and, you know, open your eyes and minds up. But it is possible, and again, a lot of the mediums that we have in here, when we're interviewing, they are talking about training. They're talking about the skill set that it needs and how long it takes to develop, because that is something that is very, I mean, I don't think people realize that. You can't just go to somebody that just went to a weekend workshop and hung their shingle out. It's right. Not right. And then we want to try to pull the curtain back some, you know, and, you know, for the believers and not believers, and let them get a little bit closer and, you know, so the audience can see, you know, the good mediums, what it takes to be a good medium, you know, and versus the charlatans or the bad ones. We, you know, and I think what I love about you with your book, as I was saying, is that I love how honest you are.
Well,
I love the research you did. I have to be honest, Roberta. I loved all that. You're a person after my own heart with this, because even though I believe, I'm a skeptic.
The best investigators are always skeptics, because it's too easy to be taken in otherwise by things that are not true. And this is real. All of this is real.
Yes.
And so we're for sure going to be very skeptical about anything unless we can see that it fits and it also is real. Right. I have to admit, that's what's – I've spent half a century doing this work, because so much of what I've come across, I've rejected it for one reason or another. I'd rather have a little truth than a great big falsehood.
Yes, exactly. And so that's why in here we actually – have gotten a hold of a few people that will be in the doc as well that were skeptics that are now believers.
Yes.
And we're not talking your normal, just everyday people. They have books out, or one of them actually worked for, you know, HuffPo and for NPR, and she was a journalist, and she was a skeptic, and she's even brought friends that were science-based to the Q&A, and afterwards they were like, I think we'll jump off the fence.
Well, I think that's the problem. Yes. The reason that scientists are so skeptical is that the gatekeepers, the peer-reviewed journals and the university departments, won't allow them to do this work and still be part of the in-group.
Right.
And more of them are starting to see that, you know, the basic dogma of materialism is basically wrong. I mean, they've actually known this for quite a while, parenthetically. But, yeah, this is an exciting time. So when will it be ready, and where will you be showing it? Do you have any idea yet?
We're hoping to have it finished by – we're hoping to have it finished where it'll start being edited by spring. And we want to have it ready so it can start being released out and be submitted to a lot of the film festivals. So that's
great.
Our first
Great.
Place. Kim
yes.
is actually Kim is working on the distribution side to help with that. So we have big plans for all of this. I think one of the biggest things I want to mention, though, too, is the hope, and I want to bring that back up, is the hope that I saw and that spark of light that's been reignited back into bereaved families from seeing,
yes.
you know, genuine spiritual mediums. You take Elizabeth from Helping Parents Heal. You take Sherry
yes.
Pearl from the Prayer Registry.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have gone on to go and do amazing work
yes.
and be of service from these from readings and from beautiful souls that they found within the spiritual mediums that they had readings from. We have a police officer who had a reading that now he understands, and the reading was so evidential for him. Now he is actually able, because he goes on so many crime scenes, that
yes.
he is actually able to help comfort grieving families and know better
wow.
how to comfort them. So it's paying it forward. It's being of service, and that's what this documentary is supposed to be about, too. It's being of service. It's helping one soul at a time find some peace, find some hope, find some serenity in something. And, again, we have such a great responsibility, and I think everybody in this field, we have such a responsibility to the client and to the grieving. It's proving, but it's those that enter this field, there has to be some skepticism, but police work to sit there and say, we have to have responsibility, not just for spirit, not just for our evidence that we're trying to put out there to awaken more people in the universe, but to the client as well.
Yes. No, each person that we help to understand the fact that life is eternal is another person who, frankly, I hear from them all the time. They go out into the world and they help other people to understand that, too. I mean, this is where we're spreading the truth over all the globe, sort of without even people noticing it. And your documentary is going to be so great for that. Do you have a website that people could go to?
Yes, we actually have our business website, which is carouselentertainmentgroup.com, and you can reach us there. And
that's Carousel, C-A-R-O-U-S-E-L?
Yes, Carousel, okay. Yep, just like the carousel.
Okay.
Carouselentertainmentgroup.com, and we're there. We haven't started, because it was a working title right now, we haven't started and locked down that domain yet, because like I said, we're still working to make sure that that's the title we're going to stick with for the documentary.
Why don't you get the domain name anyway? Because somebody else will get it before you, because it's such
I have it on hold. I just haven't put anything up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Phew. Okay. That's great.
No, we do have it. It just hasn't had anything put up on it. It's just sitting there.
and Adelaide, finally, how can people reach you if they'd like to get in touch with you?
Actually, you can reach me through the Carousel Entertainment Group, or my email is awolf, which is just A-W-O-L-F, at carouselentertainmentgroup.com.
I'm so happy to have spent this time with you. I'm so excited about seeing you next week and giving you a big hug. You're doing wonderful, wonderful work. Bless you, dear.
Oh, I can't wait to see you at the Afterlife Conference in Arizona. And
so
Wendy and Victor Zammit and Craig Hogan and Suzanne Wilson and Susan Geisman and Sandra Champlain. I can't wait to see everybody. We're just going to have a wonderful time there.
And for those listening who are saying, darn it, you didn't make it this year, there's always next year. We're going to be doing this again. Thank you so much again, Adelaide Wolf. What a wonderful person. This has been so much fun. And as you all know, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could join us. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest for the second time is going to be Virginia Hummel. She's better known as the Orb Whisperer, but she knows a lot of things which interest me. Next week, we're going to be talking about amazing evidence that children and young adults even who die will often reincarnate in the same family pretty quickly. There's a lot of evidence of this, and it's amazing. She has a personal story about this. Please don't miss it. She's a lovely person. And this week, of course, we've been visiting with Adelaide Wolf, who is a filmmaker, and she's rocking our world by, as you see, this is a force of nature, this woman. Her upcoming documentary, which I hope she keeps this title, is working title, Medium Rare, A True Medium is a Rare Find. Afterlife studies is a genuine science, and people like her are bringing it into the mainstream. Please watch for Adelaide Wolf. She's going to be making waves. She is someone I think who's going to go down in history as one of the people who brought the truth to the world. Thanks to her work and the work of people like her, the truth is about to dawn over all the earth. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. And you can always reach me through robertagrimes.com. There's a little contact block there. I do answer all my emails. Just make sure I have your address. And meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you in particular, are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.